Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, what must be the atmosphere at the Haramain Sharifain? What must the Hajis be doing at the moment? The Hajis that have just newly come for the first time seeing the Roza Mubarak, going to see the Kaaba for the first time, the Kaaba Sharif for the first time. And it is with regard to this that we render this ash'ar written by our Dada Sheikh, our beloved Dada Sheikh, rahmatullah alayh. It is the title which is Tere Darpar Tera Banda Suhbate Ummeed Karam Aya. Karam se unke mere saamne unka haram aaya. Karam se unke mere saamne unka haram aaya. Hamari zindagi ka waqt waqte muhtanam aaya. Hamari zindagi ka waqt waqte muhtanam aaya. Karam se rabb kaaba ke dua ya rad nahi hoti. Karam se rabb kaaba ke dua ya rad nahi hoti. Nazar ke saamne kismat se meri muntazam aaya. Nazar ke saamne kismat se meri multazam aaya. Karam se unke mein mere saamne unka haram aaya. Yahan ka zarra zarra mazhare anwar ka bahe. Yahan ka zarra zarra mazhare anwar ka bahe. Ye malik ka karam hai us pe jo uske haram aaya. Ye malik ka karam hai us pe jo uske karam aaya. Karam se unke mere saamne unka haram aaya. Agarche pur khata hai par kaha jaye tera banda. Agarche pur khata hai par kaha jaye tera banda. Tere dar par tera banda bumide karam aaya. Tere dar par tera banda ummeede karam aaya. Karam se unke mere saamne unka haram aaya. Zubane shukr ka sir hai lughat mein dam nahi akhtar. Zubane shukr ka sir hai lughat mein dam nahi akhtar. Meri ummeed se zyada نظر ان کا کرم آیا میری امید سے زیادہ نظر ان کا کرم آیا کرم سے ان کے میرے سامنے ان کا حرم آیا ہماری زندگی کا وقت وقت مغتنم آیا کرم سے ان کے میرے سامنے ان کا حرم آیا
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. This very beautiful poem, bayan of our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, and also the condition of the heart of our Shaykh. May Allah Ta'ala transfer that into our hearts also. And we also have the great appreciation for deen, for every aspect of deen. Here at the moment, of course, we know people are just flocking, and at the moment, whether a person is at the Haji camp in Jeddah or people going directly to Madinatul Munawwara, planes are just flying in, and plane loads of Hujjaj are just reaching there all the time. And on everyone's tongue, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. Whether it is black people of Nigeria or Sudan, whether it is white people of America and Europe, whether it is brown people of Indonesia, Malaysia, India, Pakistan, the whole world's people, how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made an effort in what a short period of 23 years, and how he united the people on the kalima of deen, and how the people today all just come there. And may Allah let us see all this, let us feel it. And at this moment, though we are here, may Allah put that love in our hearts, and that desire that we were also there. As Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi has said, ke suna hai ke tere dar par tere aashiqo ka hujum hai. That at your door, at your place, we have heard that the lovers have all gathered there. And these lovers, these are the true lovers of Allah Ta'ala, who are there now in Makkah Sharif, and then they will be going away. They left all their belongings at home, whatever they had. In fact, one or two bags, and they have gone to Makkah Sharif. From there they will leave everything back, and perhaps just an overnight bag, and they go away to Arafah, or to Mina. And perhaps they will leave the things in Mina and go empty-handed to Arafat. And in Muzdalifah again, without even a roof over their head. Well, now there are toilets, but there was a time when there wasn't any toilets or anything. In fact, water was also, people had to carry their own water. Now all the facilities have been made according to needs and times. So in Muzdalifah, and then back to Mina, who is this? It's only a great lover of Allah Ta'ala. Sad part is, the lover also doesn't know he's got love. That he's moving, leaving this, leaving that. He left his home, he left his family. And how many times it happens that the families who go, they also split apart. The wife is somewhere, the husband is somewhere, and that is Arafat, where Adam alayhi salam, it is said, met Hawa alayhi salam, and very strangely and very fascinatingly, how they just meet up again. They have no idea. They're just walking, going to look, and there the person is in front. Your wife is in front of you. There's my husband. He's there in front of me. All night we were separate. And no fear, no worry also. Yeah, otherwise, if we have to get separated, what great concern. But there Allah Ta'ala puts that sukoon in the heart, that a person, both were carrying on with their ibadah, their du'as, and Allah just makes them meet like that again. So this is if this is not the truth of Islam, then what else is? When the hafiz makes tarawih and he reads from Alhamd Tal Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, if that is not the truth of Islam, then what is? Now Qurbani will be coming, and throughout the world how many animals will be sacrificed? If that's not the truth of Islam, then what else it is? What Allah Ta'ala has given us? And may Allah, we're going through it, but we're not realizing it. And this is all what this Hanqa effort is. It's not to become really pabund on deen, that was supposed to be done before, but here to get that spirit. And when a person now, that inside feeling he gets now, and the inside eyes of the heart are open, and he sees all these things, and now when he gets that enjoyment of salah, etc., may Allah bless us with it. We have to keep on talking, keep on hearing, keep on making dua, keep on aspiring, keep on wishing. Allah Ta'ala grant it to us. Allah will see that these people really want this. And if we don't on our own, with our effort, Allah will grant it from His side before we leave the world. Inshallah. And for some people it is better also. Some of us are very weak. Like some people, as soon as they have money, then they just use that money wrongly. They just can't hold the money. It has to be spent, right, wrong. It just has to be spent. So even this year, as far as the matters of deen, some people can't contain themselves. To give one little idea of that, the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what a thing it is. Then we find those people who we call the bidatis or the barilwis, but they can't contain themselves. And they give expression to it. And they give, perhaps they go over the limit. And if we see our buzurgs, their life, and we see their works, and we see their ash'ar, we see that what love of Nabi alayhi salam, but how Allah gave them the quality to contain it also. Otherwise, to express that love, a person will want to do many things. That is why they have qawwali, they have all that, they add little music. Their intentions most probably are all good, but they went over the limit. But our buzurgs, how much love they have. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullah alayhi, if we read his ash'ar in the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then when he came close to Madinatul Munawwara, far away still, close that piece from where we came, and then he removed his shoes, and he walked without shoes, bleeding, thorns, stones, what and what. The Khadim also tried, but he couldn't. He just took a few steps and he had to wear his shoes again. And in that way, Hazrat went to Nabi. He said, how can I wear my shoes when I'm going to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So what love they had of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So to get that love and to know it in our heart, this is the thing. So tere dar par, tera banda ba ummeed e karam aya. Your banda, your slave has come to you, that is, at Kaaba Sharif, with the hope of karam. That is also very important, that word, karam and hilam. Whatever favors of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala we experience in our lives, whether they are deeni, out of tawfiq of obeying Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, perhaps keeping rozas, what tilawat, whatever, we should take it, not that we are not worthy of it at all, but we should take it that it is only the karam of Allah, that out of His kindness, that Allah has granted us. Material, physical, dunya, na'mas also, it's only the karam of Allah He has given us. Otherwise we are such that we should have been destroyed because of our sins. And what sins don't we commit? Forget the open sins, and that also we don't acknowledge as sin. The righteous and the pious, they don't commit a single sin, hardly. They are so righteous all the time. And they make tawbah istighfar so much. Hazrat Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, 70 times a day, 100 times a day, what son of Nabi alayhi, na'uzubillah, to use the word son in relationship to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make us maaf. You can't use it. But so much of tawbah istighfar, why? On the ibadat and on the high position Allah had given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compared to the previous position. So all the time. So, and we open sin, we are involved in. And we don't see our sin also. It is covered with the veneer of our deen. That I'm a deeny person, with the veneer of our title. I'm a maulana, I'm a haji sahab, I'm a hafiz sahab, etc. But in our heart, how many sins are lurking? In our inside, looking down on people, etc. Backbiting is so rife and so common. All this so much. And la ya'ani and fuzul. And today Allah make us maaf. We were told, amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. And today the tongue is completely out of control. Not physically the tongue, but actually the tongue on the WhatsApp all the time. The fingers are moving. That's also speaking, sending messages. You are speaking all the time. So much so that not even one word answers are given to anyone. The eyes are just there, the ears are there, the everything is just engaged. So we are involved in so much of in La Yani. With this WhatsApp, how much of La Yani? How much of open sin on it? But we don't acknowledge it, we don't make tawbah. So anyway, so yeah, the banda has come to Allah by the threshold of Allah in the hope of the karam of Allah Ta'ala. Not that we deserve anything, but just the karam of Allah Ta'ala. Karam se unke mere saamne unka haram aaya. That the haram has come in front of me, this is also just the karam of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, to be at Rozai Mubarak, to be at the haram park, where are we fit for that? Well, that our bodies be there, our feet be there, our eyes are looking. When Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to see the moon in Medina Sharif, he should say that this is from this angle, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the moon. When we see the moon from South Africa, we see it from a different angle. Perhaps we hardly thought of it. See where their minds go. That the same angle what Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam saw the moon, saw the sun, I'm seeing it, the sky, etc. So this is the deep love. Hamari zindagi ka waqt, waqt-e mughtanam aya. The time of our lives, the time of the benefiting. Mughtanam, to take maximum benefit. Like a businessman, retailer will say, December. That is the time, I can't waste a minute here. Now even if I got a flu, I have to go to shop. I can't delay 1 second also. A student, before his exams, he says, now I can't waste time. Food also I won't have. I have to study now. So that is our waqt-e mughtanam. When the Kaaba is in front of us, when we are at the Rozai Mubarak. But unfortunately today, the cell phone didn't leave us there also. And there also we are busy all the time. Even talking with other people, and there, how many of us are in the shopping malls all the time? How many of us are going to what other different places? And the museums which are there, alhamdulillah, it inspires a person. But other people look at it differently, that nothing else but the Haram Sharif. There when you're getting so much reward for your ibadat and to be just in the Haram. Otherwise, we are with the TV is also there. Now TV is a thing of the past also. TV is in your pocket all the time. You are watching TV in the room. Now it's in your pocket and you are watching it in the haram also. And you are looking at what's happening in the haram. You can see with your own eyes what is happening. But you have to see it via the TV. That wherever, from where they are broadcasting, whatever now, but you are there, you are seen, but you have to still see it on there. Your own eyes also are not now sufficient for you. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that is waqt-e mughtanam. And a person who appreciates his time there, Allah will bless him to appreciate his time when he comes home also. And Allahu Akbar. If we read of the ni'mats of Jannat, everywhere we read, this is the highest stages. And a person will be in Jannat, Allah grant us all. But he'll be, that sorrow will come, that highest stage I didn't acquire. And those people, buzurgs, went to this extent, that the time of eating they spent for eating, they measured that time. That when we eat roti, and soup, gravy, curry, it takes me so long. And if I just eat that flour, just like that, just put the flour in my mouth, we shouldn't try it. We cannot at that stage. And just drink water of it, I can say 30 more subhanallah. So the whole life, not one meal. Today I sacrificed the whole life. This is istiqamat. We can't even dream of that istiqamat. And they saved up. So what they will get in Jannat, Allahu Akbar. One stage of Jannat will be, there will be the beautiful rivers of Jannat. And what sweet taste. Like one will be with musk, pure musk. The other, lower people will get the flavoring taste of that musk. That original musk, but the flavoring. Yeah, we get fruit, we get juices. We get very happy pomegranate juice. No pomegranate in there. Not even the actual, it's just the flavor of the pomegranate, or grapes, or whatever else it might be. But they're the actual thing. And then, those people of the higher stages, those rivers, they will be given golden wand sticks. And as they walk and they want that river to flow them, it will flow, go along with them. So what are those stages? But for that, Allah gave us this time of this dunya. Allah forgive us for not understanding, not appreciating this time. This is what our whole life is, waqt-e mu'tanam. And the more we can acquire for Jannah, this is the time. Once the eyes close, we can't acquire anything there. Karam se Rabbe Kaaba ki duaya rad nahi hoti. By the karam again of Allah Ta'ala, the duas of the haram are not rejected. They are accepted. But we are sitting in the haram, how much duas are we making, or how much are we talking with other people, how much are we talking with people back home? Oh, you're sitting in the haram. We're talking with everyone, but not with Allah Ta'ala. Allah called us there and He said, whatever you're going to ask me, I will, yeah, this is a place, I will give it to you. But we are talking with everyone today, lot of family, Hajj family, Umrah, the whole family gathers after Asr, which is a long period, sit and talk, have tea or whatever else, and to talk to Allah, unfortunately, that is not there. Nazar ke saamne, qismat se, meri multazam aaya. And now, suddenly in front of my eyes, the multazam has come. I'm right at the multazam, the place of great cherish of every Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam, to be at the multazam. And every Nabi, his bosom, his chest was stuck to the multazam. Today I've got that opportunity. But how many of us strive for it? How many of us appreciate it? And then to make the du'as there, and the du'as are all readily accepted. In fact, there is one, what is called hadith a musalsal, where every narrator says that this dua was accepted at the multazam. Whatever dua he made, he saw it in his life, it was accepted. And the next person, he relates, when I went, my this dua was accepted. So Allah has given us that position. Yaha ke zarra zarra manzare anwar-e Kaaba hai. Yeah, every speck is what the value of the Kaaba is. The effulgence of the Kaaba, the noor of the Kaaba, the phase of the Kaaba is everywhere. When you write at the Kaaba, write at the source what to say. But if you, wherever you are in the haram, the beautiful effulgence of the Kaaba is there. Ye malik ka karam hai, us pe jo uske haram aaya. This is only the kindness of Allah, karam and hilam of Allah Ta'ala. Not that we were worthy in the least, but the karam and hilam of Allah, that the Kaaba has come in front of us. Agar che pur khata hai, par kahan jaye tera banda. Though I am full of sin. And fortunate is that person who realizes this, not just these words, but really that I am full of sin. That I'm not worthy, that person can appreciate to be, a person who feels I'm worthy to be at the Kaaba, that person he can't appreciate it. I'm worthy, that's why I'm here. I could afford the highest ticket, so I paid for it, that's why I'm here. But this is, you couldn't afford, and they just picked you up from outside and put you right in front. Now how much you appreciate. You had no hope that you will be there. And so, wherever we are, that Allah brought us, a person who realizes that I'm poor khata, I'm full of sins, that person will appreciate. Tere dar par tera banda ba ummeed karam aaya. At your threshold, your slave has come with the hope of your kindness. And when a person sees this kindness, that I am the most greatest sinner in the world, but Allah has brought me, now he knows that Allah is going to bless me also. That I am not worth to be here at all, but he brought me, so he is going to bless me accordingly. Zubani shukar qasir hai, lughat mein dam nahi akhtar. The tongue of shukar is also has given up. I can't make enough shukar. And language and dictionary hasn't got words anymore. I don't know how to express, but that person will feel who realizes that I'm full of guna. And a person who feels that I'm very pious, very righteous, I deserve to be here. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he was presenting Salatu Salam at Rauza-e Mubarak, what knowledge Mufti Sahib had, but what condition he went through. Be in front of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where do I deserve to be here? And we, Allah make us ma fighting with the gods, that it's my right to be here. Where are you pushing me away? You don't know the value of this place. I know the value. You people don't know who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. I know who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. So that person, what does he get then? Meri ummeed se zyada nazar unka karam aaya. More than I hoped for, Allah's karam came to me even more. But that is, that when we have that hope, when I feel I'm deserving, then it's my right then. My birthright to be there. And our attitude at such times also. How we fight with people, etc. It's my right. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wasalamun ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سيأتي على الناس الزمان لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ولا من القرآن إلا رسمه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وصدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. ما شاء الله. We are now in the period which is called the Mawsam, the season of Hajj. Mawsam is Hajj, and this is a great period for what the Arabs it has always been, and they look very much forward to this. Normally, our attitude is on the 29th of Ramadan. We look for the moon, we can see it, we feel very happy, tomorrow is Eid, rozas are now finished, we don't have to keep rozas, but we see the attitude of our elders, our pious, is completely different. When they see, for one, the day of Eid, many cry that this precious days and nights of Ramadan have come to an end now. So they are in a state of crying. We are in a state, we are enjoying. Last Taraweeh was finished last night. Today no Taraweeh, we are early back home. And now the goodies must come out. We start eating, etc. But they are crying that those precious moments of Ramadan, waqt-e mughtanam, is gone now. There are those buzurgs, when they see the moon of Shawwal, then they get happy that the days of Hajj have come now. Now that we have prepared to purify ourselves, then Allah is calling us now, you now are fit to come to my house. You have cleansed yourself in Ramadan, Shaaban. You have gone for, so to say, Mi'raj in Rajab. And you have cleansed and purified yourself. Ramadan, you adorned yourself with all the beauties, all the jewelry, all the adornments that were given out. You adorned with you now pure and clean, and you are beautiful. Now you come for Hajj. Come to my house now, and I will bless you here. Then there are those buzurgs, when they see the moon of Eid, everyone gets different groups. They get happy that the next Eid, next Ramadan is now coming again. Already from there, they're looking for the next Ramadan. There were those buzurgs for about half of the year from Ramadan, from Eid till the next Ramadan, 11 months. They look at it, 6 months, that what we had acquired, to remain firm on that. And they remain firm. Our condition is such, many of us, that after Ramadan, then we say we became lax again. We became lax with our namazes, with our jamaat namazes, with our tilawat. Not that we're reading less, we're not reading at all. Ramadan we were doing so much, now we are doing nothing. But they were watching that whatever we acquired, it must be here. And then the next half of the year, preparation for the next Ramadan. They got into preparation. Allah give us also tawfiq. So this Ayat-e-Kareema was revealed on the plains of Arafat. And if we this is also one aspect of Hajj, to get the spiritual Hajj. One Hajj that the person just goes. The preparation of that Hajj is packing the bags, packing food, etc., making sure the tickets are right, getting our yellow card, all those things. But preparation of the Hajj itself, nothing. Others make that preparation also, that we prepare, we know how to make Hajj, the masail of Hajj. Others prepare further to get the Hajj as far as the spiritual Hajj is concerned, the inside Hajj. Others prepare even more that the historical aspect of Hajj. When they are making tawaf, they imagine that all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made tawaf here. صفا مروا, the whole event of Hazrat Sara alayhi salam, Hazrat Hajira alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam, how they went Zamzam, they drink a drop of Zamzam and the whole history is in front of them. And we drink Zamzam, not a dua on our tongue, not a thought, and Zamzam lima shurib, for what you drink it, that dua at that time. But how much of our duas at that time we make? So everyone, the person who prepares accordingly. So this, in the plains of Arafat, if those people who prepared that this was the day that Allah revealed this ayat, the Jews said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that had this ayat been revealed to us, we should have made it a day of Eid. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, we know exactly when, where this ayat, and that is a big Eid for us, which we celebrate as an Eid. So this is a very valuable ayat. So to prepare for Hajj on that ayat, that is also one great, great thing. And when we are in, on the plains of Arafat, and when after the time of Asr, that is the time to engage in du'as at that time. And if we think of it historically, that this was the time that Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayat about 1400 years ago, more than 1400 years, here on this place. And in this ayat, another aspect that comes should come to our mind, that I've come for Hajj, and Hajj is كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, like when your mother gave birth to you, completely clean and pure, you returning again. And the Hajar-e-Aswad puts a stamp on you. We get a stamp in our passport, exit, entry. Yeah, the Hajar-e-Aswad puts a stamp. How we made our Hajj, it puts a stamp. And when you come back, your life is according to that then. If we did a proper Hajj, we get a proper stamp on us. When a person is doing his final tawaf, then the stamp is put onto his heart. And if we did not do our Hajj properly, we were not looking after our eyes, we did not have that isar and sacrifice for other people, and Allah makes it such, you've got have food with you, for example, and a time came when your car broke down, your vehicle. Now there are people around you, they haven't got food, you got food. At that time, do you give them also? Do you share with them? What do you do? And the highest stage, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written from the Quran Sharif, the highest stage is, you got your food. You stay hungry and you feed other people. But we are normally, unfortunately, fail at such times. At the second stage, you at least share. And the third stage, you just eat and you don't worry of anyone around you. Allah Ta'ala save us, guide us, inshallah. So all the sacrifices and these tests Allah will bring, and all the time, everywhere these tests come from continuously. And the person who passes this test, of course, he's upgraded now. He goes to a higher grade now, a higher class. So in the same way, when these tests come to us, do we get upgraded or do we fail? Or sometimes you relegate it, you demote it to the bottom. You can't go up now, you have to go down. Allah save us all. So all this test Allah brings all the time. So yeah, this ayat, the aspect that we would like to focus on, what condition that we are sort of going through, and it isn't complex, it isn't confusing, but because we don't follow our deen, we don't associate with ulama as we should, then we get confused that what is happening, etc. There is nothing really to be confused. Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba asked the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if we also can do this, and that we ask our elders, we ask our ulama, that in these conditions, what must we do? So the Sahaba, incidentally, just last night we read, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was writing on a certain aspect, and he said, today, the conditions are open in front of all, what difficult conditions. That was maybe perhaps 50, 70 years ago. And today, if we have to see today, and the next minute, the next hour, Allah have mercy upon us, what the conditions are. Anyway, the Sahaba asked, indeed, and this was now, Hazrat Shaykh wrote 50, 60 years ago. And the Sahaba asked in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that these difficult conditions that we are facing, what is man najat? How do we, what's the salvation? Today, oh, I don't know who to turn to, I don't know who to ask, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to think. But it's all there, and it's so clear, but it's so clear that we see through it, and that it doesn't make sense to us. Fortunate are those people to whom it makes sense. But unfortunately, it won't make sense to most of us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. Today, who is going to control his tongue? With the WhatsApp all the time? All the time, who's going to control his tongue? Nobody is going to control his tongue. Who will be prepared to put away his smartphone and just get a simple phone just for its necessity? A phone. We call it a phone, but we're using it almost for everything else besides a phone. Hardly we use it as a phone, very little. Or if we use it as a phone, but not the conventional that we speak. Now it's all the messages all the time. Reading, replying, and Allah make us maaf. Perhaps I don't know what messages are coming and what messages are going. So one was that. The second Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make staying in your house compulsory. Only leave for necessity. Don't leave without necessity. In other words, live a life on your own. For necessity, Jamaat namaz you go. You're going out in Jamaat, you go. You go for a program, you go for your rozi, you go to business for necessity. But today to meet just ordinarily, social functions where the laws of Allah are broken flagrantly, openly they are broken, but we're quite comfortable there. It means nothing to us whatsoever. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, for example, has said that any of my khulafa whom I have given khilafat, if they enter, if they are present at any such gatherings, where there are mixed gatherings, where there are videos, where there are photos taken, without anyone saying anything, his khilafat is cancelled. One person who became bad to Hazrat, and then afterwards he shaved his beard. Then there was some discussion that whether his khilafat is still in his place or it's cancelled. Hazrat Mir Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said he shaved off his own khilafat. There is no question and discussion on this. He shaved off his own khilafat, he made it completely zero himself. So there's no question about it. So we find those conditions. And we find those mashayikh that will completely forbid this. So, and also at the same time, let us also consider one very, very important thing, that for everything, a person to justify himself will take out from the lives of the buzurgs. And you will find incidents like that. And this is so easy to understand. One is what is called, for example, mizaj shariat, the nature of shariat. And one is hudud shariat, the limits of shariat, the limits which shariat has kept. So, the mizaj of shariat, for example, is everyone knows, the whole ummah knows, to read namaz with topi. But the hudud of shariat, the limit of shariat, you are driving, you are traveling somewhere, a hot day, you open the window, your topi flew away. You're not going to get your topi. Now you have to make namaz, now no topi, so what you going to do? You are not going to make namaz. Because I haven't got a topi. No, you're going to make it. The limit of shariat you will observe now. That I can make a namaz, but now when you get your topi, you don't say that namaz I could make without a topi. So this namaz also. Or we see a pious person, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ubaidullah Sindhi Rahmatullah Ali. Now he's one in, now we quote him for example. He shouldn't wear a topi. He said that the topi is the crown of a Muslim. When we haven't got a kingdom, what crown are we wearing? Now he was at that level. Now we say, oh, Maulana is such a great Maulana. He doesn't wear topi. So I'm also not going to wear topi. No, see, everyone else is wearing. The ordinary street sweeper Muslim is also wearing a topi. The Maulana, the Hafiz, the Haji, all are wearing topi. Now where you come with your excuse? That one person didn't wear, on one occasion he didn't wear topi. So that is also very important. Another way to understand that, follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't only follow individual hadiths. Sunnah of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he made namaz with topi, whole life. But you will find an occasion perhaps that a hadith you will read, you will come across that one hadith. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made namaz without a topi. He made namaz with his shoes on. That is one rare occasion. Now you use that rare occasion to take it the whole life. So the correct understanding of deen is very, very important. So we shouldn't just choose out from the lives. On one occasion, Hazrat Hazrat Maulana Mahmoodul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, went to Delhi. where they were staying, in the room wherever they got their place, there was a masjid very close, Kuawali Masjid. And the Imam there read very beautiful Quran Sharif, very beautiful Quran Sharif. So when they reached there at night, so they were discussing the other friends with Maulana, great, great ulama also, with Maulana, they said, one said, we'll go and make namaz in that masjid. The Imam reads very beautiful Quran. The other friend said, you got no shame in you, open with one another they speak, that Imam speaks ill of our Shaykh, of Maulana Mahmudul Hasan, calls him, na'uzu billahi, kafir. So Hazrat heard all this discussion. In the morning, Hazrat went first and he went straight to that masjid to read namaz behind that who we will call a bidati. But he read beautiful Quran Sharif and they read namaz, finished everything. After that, that person, the Imam noticed, there are some new people today, usually Fajr, less people come. There are some new people and by their looks, they look like ulama. So he went and meet them. Introduction, so the same person I call kafir and he came and make namaz behind me. So he said that, Hazrat, I call you kafir and you made namaz behind me. He said, if I was in your shoes, I should also call myself a kafir. He said that the news that came to you that I don't believe in Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, that I don't have respect for Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, I should also give the same fatwa for. But my one complaint to you is that you should have verified. You should have found out, is that my belief? Have I said those things? You should have found out that. And I appreciate, and this is what I will do. If I get news that somebody doesn't believe in Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, disrespects or he mocks Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, I will give the same fatwa also. And then he said, for your satisfaction, I read kalima also. That person fell at the feet of Nabi Ali. Now we take this one rare occasion and we say we also must go everywhere. Whereas the lifelong way of Hazrat Shaykh Mahmudul Hasan Sahab was not going to read behind such a person his whole life. But this was one occasion and what he was inspired with, we got what inspiration we get. And then we also want to justify all our things. And we use that one, that he did that. One of our great buzurgs. He went late in the night to a brothel where women sell themselves. And there he presented, he read the khutbah, he read the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu where they all made tawbah. Now we also want to do the same. It doesn't justify it at all. So it's very important to understand these rare occasions to prove what that the norm. It doesn't work. See what was the norm there? That is our norm also. Not that we use one rare occasion to make this a normal thing forever. No. So Islam, this ayat al-kareema which Allah tabaraka ta'ala had revealed on the plains of Arafat, one aspect is for the Hajjis to see, and that, for example, we went for Hajj. We didn't think of this at the time of after Asr. What was this great, great occasion? So we should think, I must go again for Hajj and make my better Hajj. One great person of our country, Maulana Abdul Rahman's uncle, Haji Ahmed Lambat, mashallah, every year he should make Hajj. And every sunnah he should observe practically. One is, perhaps many of us, myself, I didn't know, Wadi Muhassab is a valley that when you're returning from Mina back to Makkah Sharif, there's a little valley. Now to know it also is very difficult. If you ask the local Arabs, they wouldn't know also, the people who stay there. But to make wukuf there for a little while, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, half an hour, is also sunnah. He should fulfill that sunnah also. How he should make his Hajj, and every year he should better his Hajj. And he was a person, those days, Masjid al-Nabawi used to get locked at night, after Isha, after a certain while, and open again at Tahajjud time. He was amongst those people that on a daily basis when he was there, he was the first at the door. And as soon as they opened the door, he's got his place in Rawdatul Jannah, which we call Riyadul Jannah. He was to get his place. He passed away in Jeddah and he's buried in Jannatul Ma'la, in Makkah Sharif. Also a very, very pious person, but outwardly he was a lawyer. But in spite of that, his piety and his deen and that, Allahu Akbar. So all this year, what was I saying? Quoted him. Yeah, the sunnah, to follow every sunnah. So he should make every year hajj to improve on the previous year's hajj. But we, our hajj, how do we improve? Or is it if we are going the next time for hajj, now we take it for granted? Or, as one alim has said, a person who goes for hajj this year, next year is an agent for hajj. He's taking other hajjis now. So he's taking other people. So is that how we are going now, to make it a commercial affair? To make money out of it, or to improve our hajj the next year? And these people, Haji Ahmed himself, I know, that he should live like a no one, like a Mr. Nobody. When he was there doing his own thing, his own little breakfast, his own thing, not interfering with anyone or anything, but just doing his, and his whole day practically in the haram. He made i'tikaf with us also a few years here, and whole time tilawat of Quran Sharif, all the time. Allah give us also tawfiq, so to improve our hajj. But the aspect that I wish to focus on for today with regard to that ayat, that this ayat was revealed about more than 1400 years ago. And in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. On this day, I have completed your deen. We call it normally religion, but your way of life. And that is also a great distinction between deen and way of life. On that point, we will just discuss another point also. That one thing is, there are many people who are serving, we will say deen, but in actual fact, they are serving the Muslims. Is the same thing? Any difference between serving the Muslims and serving deen? There's a world of difference between the two. That one, you are worried of the Muslim community. Like for example, Allah forgive, when I was at Rao, the professor told me that as long as your makatib, your primary madaris are running, you, the Muslim people, will exist as a Muslim community. But the day your madaris are not existing, when your Islamic education will be given through other sources, whether it's the internet, whether it's the schools or whatever else, your makatib do not exist, you will not exist as a Muslim community. You will exist as a professional community. You will exist as a wealthy community. You will exist as a business community, but not as a Muslim community. So if we can understand the subtle differences in this, it will make a lot of difference to our thinking. On that point, another point, when we discuss with people, alim for example, discussing with a lawyer, discussing with a doctor, academic, whoever he is, his background and his foundation is completely different. His roots are in a different, from a different place. And the alim's roots are from a different, yes, Quran and Hadith. Now, how can you reconcile the two? When you both are thinking on the same lines and your roots, then you can sort yourself out. But he is thinking from normally a dunya's point of view. And you are thinking from a deeni point of view, from an akhirat point of view. So it's difficult to reconcile with the two. For that, the best principle, rule of thumb, we Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave us, but this also won't make sense to us. He said that, apna kuch horo nahi, dusro kuch hero nahi. Don't give up your way. You stick to your way and don't interfere and talk with other people. You know this is right? You stick to it. Don't go and now try and speak to this person, that person. You're going to confuse yourself. You know this is my right way? You stick to your right way. And leave them to do what they don't go and interfere with them. So that is the safe way. So anyway, and there are so many things that we went to. Amlik alayka lisan. Control your tongue, this phone, which is Nabi Sallallahu's solution. But it's going to make sense to me. Who is it going to make sense to that I go and give away my smartphone now? No, I need it for my business. That's my excuse. But for what am I using it predominantly? Everyone know nobody is going to change his smartphone for an ordinary phone now. And nobody is going to stop messaging all the time and receiving messages all the time and reading all those messages that come. A person will say 400 messages came during the night. Now, how long time you going to do, which message you going to read, not read, you going to reply to, comment to, and you are prompted to give a reply. When you see this, no, I must reply this. And you start another debate again, and a whole other discussion, and it just carries on. And keep to your homes. Who will keep to that and not go and discuss social gatherings today? Anyone. I went to a walima, the talk was only this. I went to this place here, Qabristan, we went, everyone was only talking of this.
That is now the talking, and then the phoning is different, the WhatsApp is different, and then the third thing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wabki ala khatiyati, cry over your sins. We got no sins in the first place, so what we have to cry for? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declares, cry over your sins. But me, I go at the top of my voice, I got no sins. I'm a very pious person. We don't do this kind of things. This is not our way. Where I do these things, I don't do these things. We can't, when a person can't see his sins, that is a very, very serious condition. A person who's very ill, but he says, I'm not ill at all. That is a very serious condition. With physical things, we all go for treatment. But for spiritual, then I'm all right. Or just sweep it under the carpet. It doesn't matter. So this is the condition. And this solution, the problem was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The questioner was a sahabi radiallahu ta'ala. And the answerer was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Until today we say, what conditions are today here? Today is different. When we were small it was like this. And Hazrat Shaykh say, when you were small it was big problems. And when we were small it was all right. Then the Sahaba are saying these were big problems. And they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for the solution, and he gave the solution. But that is a person who wants the solution for Akhirat. And a person who doesn't want that solution, well, whole life will go in these things. So anyway, this Ayat-e-Karima was revealed 1400 years ago, in which Allah said, I completed your deen for you. Your deen is completed. Whose words? Not Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's also. Allah tabarakut. So deen was completed. Now in our times, or is it our deen also? Like you will find the BM advertised in a Sunday paper, over two big pages, ultimate in technology. And next year, with all the new additions, it's the ultimate in technology again. So our deen also is the ultimate in perfection. But after 1400 years, now what we had, now it's the ultimate in, and next year again, ultimate in perfection. No, what Allah said is the ultimate, is the complete. But that doesn't make, now I have to have this edition, I have to have that edition, then only it can be the complete deen. So, al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Allah give us to understand. And what an ayat, kalamullah, the words of Allah, and the kalamullah, and the kitab of Allah. And then Allah says, وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نَعْمَتِي, and I have completed my na'mat. And this refers to my special na'mat I've given to you. And that is deen Allah has given us. And that is, we know Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Zati Girami. What honorable position of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What a na'mat Allah had given us. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also had to go through what sacrifices to make the deen alive. Today, if we can understand this principle also, then we will understand, if we want deen to become alive, deen does not become alive in comfort and luxury. Deen comes alive with sacrifice and hardship. We can't understand it. We are weak. We ask all the time for afiyat. But the more sacrifices are made for deen, and till today, those who made, Hazrat Hussein had to go through what for deen to come alive. And everything, Hazrat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed this is going to happen also. But for deen, he allowed it also. Otherwise, he could make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, what difficulties. No food in the house. No food in the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But the more sacrifices are made, and I'm the biggest culprit, all of us, we want comfort, we want ease. But really, deen comes alive with sacrifice. The fuel of making deen alive is sacrifices, is hardship, is difficulties. With that, deen becomes alive. If we can understand that, deen does not become alive. We're sitting in the comforts of our lounges, on our extra soft couches, and on TV we are watching, and deen comes alive. It doesn't work like that. Deen comes alive, the more we give sacrifices, on that deen becomes alive. Deen does not become alive that you are making your namazes in the hotel you stay, following the imam behind the TV screen. No, deen will become alive when you will make your wuzu and you'll go to the haram. You'll go through the little, and today our mujahada is not so difficult, it's not much. It is very, very easy, it's little that we have to make. But on that Allah Ta'ala will make deen come alive. Hazrat Ji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when people complained about the riots in India, etc. So Hazrat Ji said that Allah has got his quota of taking shuhada, how many shaheeds he has to take. And you people not going in that way to sacrifice for deen. So Allah is taking his quota in that way. But that quota has to be fulfilled. It has to be full. If we make sacrifices for deen, then deen will become alive. And the whole of deen is mujahada. If we want deen to get up for fajr, is mujahada. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi is entitled one chapter of his, going for Jummah is mujahada. Because today we see it, and mashallah, there are many people who do it. They leave their shops when the shop is so busy, and they come. We were last week in Maritzburg, and one brother, Alim, Mufti Saab, he told us at night, what an interesting incident. He said that about 10 to 12, he left his shop, he's doing business, to go for Jummah. Then he receives a phone call from the shop, his assistants, the people at the shop. Yes, somebody is speaking a language, we don't understand his language. So they put him on the phone. That person came speaking pure, proper Arabic, clear. He says, I'm here and I want to make Jummah. And I'm looking for a place to make Jummah. And see, Allah's working. How Allah send him to that shop? Of all the shops, he went to that shop. So he said, you just wait where you are. I'm coming and then we'll go for Jummah. When he goes there, he sees his wife is also there in the car. Two children are also there. The wife is dressed a bit like open, not so much. So he says, now, he asks, is there ladies' facilities? He says, yes, they are. But how your wife is dressed, we better go home rather. It's better. So they went home and then they made their Jummah. After that, they came. Now they're speaking. So they are from the Netherlands, and they are people of Netherlands, not even Arab, but they accepted Islam. They are on holiday here. But what determination I must make my Jummah. What a sacrifice. We might think, this is again another point, just let me explain it, but remind me where I am. Today our one major problem also, I got a difference with you. Now because of that difference, I just paint you black. Everything of yours is wrong. I can't see one right thing in you. And you got a difference with me, I got a different view. So you just paint me black. You don't see any good in me. Everything I do is wrong. In this way, we're just widening the gap all the time. If we can come to that, I see all the good in you, the differences we have. And we can sort it out or we can't sort it out. But at least see the good of one another. In that way, we will close the gaps. But today the attitude is just one way, going and bickering around the WhatsApp all the time, spoiling this person's mind, convincing that person, this is a bad person, this is a bad person, all that. Where is that going to take us? And then we're complaining, no unity in the ummah. We are sowing all the seeds of disunity. We are breaking the ummah and we are claiming that we want unity. We are the ones who are sowing the seeds of disunity. It's we, ourselves. And we want unity to come in the ummah. If this is, and Allah is watching everything. Ya'alamu ma antum alayh. Ya'alamu sirra wa ma akhfa. Allah knows each and everything. What we are doing, how we are conspiring, and how we are poisoning the minds of people. Allah knows everything. So this is also a very important thing. So anyway, this person, when he explained, the previous week he was in another town, also he looked for Jummah. Whereas, Allah make maaf, if it was me, I should have rukhsat. We are on the journey, travel, so you can make your zuhar, two rakats also is just enough. Not even any four sunnats, you don't have, though you have to eat comfort, but the four sunnats are not necessary. After sunnats, make your two rakats is enough. And that also, wal asri inna asayna, and I'm on holiday, I justify. But look at this person. That spirit. When they finished there, then they ate separate, man's one side, woman's one side. So he asked, this is how you people normally eat. So he said, yes, this is how we eat. If it's just the family, close family, we eat all together. But when it's like this, we eat like this separately. And then when they went into the car, now he noticed the woman is covered. So he thought his wife gave her a dupatta scarf. He said, no, she hid it in her bag. For her namaz, she was going to use it. Now we will just see her all that she was open all the time. But this that she had it and she was going to make a ihtimam, she had to cover herself all the time, but we can't accommodate that. We have to just vomit all that out. And this, the good of her, that we can't see. So Allah give us tawfiq to see this. So anyway, this deen was complete on that time. Allah had completed it. And now we can't put additions and say today the deen is completed. Tomorrow, next year, after 5 years, we put more additions. Now deen is completed. Now deen was, and Allah refers to it as this very special ni'mat. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نَعْمَتِي. This is my ni'mat that I've given to you. And this is the ni'mat, Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba, and that also, then we don't see that. One side will just see this, that the Sahaba, little difference in the deen, and how they would become upset and angry. Not only the, when the, those people who يَنْقُصُ الدِّينُ وَنَحِي, that is a very, very big thing. Small, small things. And the Sahaba could not tolerate it. You are changing from the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when his namaz, he had to go for an operation according to that time. And he said, you'll have to make your namaz in a sitting position. He said, I can never ever do that. How I saw my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam making namaz, of course we're not at that stage. And then who has to gauge for us that now according to the necessity of the time that we get, or you are a sick person, etc. Today we are all muftis, and our source of iftar, the Google, everyone knows everything. And you discuss with a person, you realize what an ignorant person, how much that person knows. All from Google, what information he has got. Whereas, this is again another very important point if we can understand, which we have said many times. Muftis do give permission that you can get married on the phone. Other muftis say, no, you can't. The witness has been present, everything. Anyway, that is one subject. Perhaps it is possible that muftis give a fatwa that we can get married on the internet now. Your witnesses are present and everything, and they give evidence and you can get married. But even if, and others will say, no, you can't, it's not possible. But the whole world, muftis can get to give fatwa that you can get a child on the internet. That is not going to happen. So the same way deen, the information of deen, knowledge of deen you can get. And this is also where we make a big mistake, that we take the knowledge of deen as deen. The knowledge of deen and the deen itself, deen comes from person to person. That is where deen, and the fahm of deen. Ilm-e-deen is one thing, fahm-e-deen is another thing. The knowledge of deen and to understand deen. For which normally we give that example, a father is lying on his bed after Isha, he's retiring to bed, he says his son, Muhammad, bring me water. So he sees my father is lying down, he takes water in a glass, a tumbler. And the next day, Sunday morning, the father is standing by the car outside in the yard, and his sleeves are folded up, and he says, Muhammad, bring me water. He sees now my father, so he understands the occasion, he's going to take water in a bucket. But now a person who doesn't see that occasion, and he wants to now interpret that word, the hadith, or in that sense of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bring me water. It's possible he makes the decision that when the father is going to be retiring to sleep, that he goes with a bucket of water. And when he wants to wash the car, he goes with a tumbler, a glass of water. The same words, but you have to know the occasion. And that is the understanding of deen. Knowledge of deen, you'll know that bring me water. But the understanding of those words, the words Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in which context he said, in which Allahu Akbar. To this extent, you are speaking on the phone and you are saying, yes, 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 you are agreeing. Yes? Now, what did you say? No, I don't agree to that what you said now. The word is yes, it will come written, narrated, yes. But that tone in which he said it, that is completely different. How many husband and wife? The wife says, you were shouting. He says, I wasn't shouting. And the wife says, you were not only shouting, you were punching me. My whole life I ever punched you? Worse than punching. That shouting of yours, what you did, was worse than punching also. So who understands whether it was actually punching, whether it was actually shouting, or whether it was just that she didn't like what you were saying. And she took offense to what you were saying. And the same way you with her. So all this understanding of deen is very, very important. And today we want to understand it in our environment. That Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha at a young and tender age, started living with her at a young and tender age. With our frame of mind, we want to understand that. It's impossible. The questions of slavery. Now when they aren't slaves, we want to understand the condition when they were slaves, when slavery was a common thing. And Islam didn't start slavery. Islam, in fact, finished off slavery. For this guna, so many slaves, give, your gunas will be made. You made that mistake, give so many slaves. And for slave freeing so many slaves, so much sawab. Islam came to remove slavery. Not, it didn't. So, but to understand that. And also to understand that a person can memorize so much. We, our minds are polluted with the filth and dirt of this day, with our TVs and with our porn and with our cell phones, what we have got. Where can we understand what is called memory? In our times, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, how many times he would narrate an incident and not one word difference in that incident. Every time, this, if we narrate, sometimes we add this little bit, we add that little bit, we subtract this. But Hazrat, every time, this is what we lived. All our great buzurs, how they lived. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayh, if he was not a walking library, what else was it? When he just read an article and he was not intending remembering it, for 15 years he remembered it. Imam Sarakhsi, rahmatullah alayh, dictates a kitab. He has got no library at his disposal, no other kitab. The king of the time, as a punishment, had imprisoned him in a well, and for 15 years he stayed in the well. His students used to feed him there, and that also, imagine, this is again that same, that qurbani, Islam becomes alive. What sacrifice? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, what sacrifice? Imam Abu Hanifa, great, great people, but what sacrifices they made. Imam Sarakhsi dictates the whole kitab, which is called Al-Mabsut, which till what I know, till today it hasn't been translated in Urdu or any other language, just in Arabic. 30 volumes without, and today it is a library of its own. He did not have the opportunity to refer to any kitab, and in order to get references and in order to get to understand this masala, he had no opportunity. He's in a well. And usually your mental state when you're in like that. But this is, now person who doesn't know all this, where can he comment on the memory of a person? Today, it's a sad state. So anyway, Allah had completed his deen. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. Allah says, I declare, I am pleased with you, with Islam as your way of life. Which Islam? Our today modern, after 500 years, that Islam? Islam of Karachi, or Islam of Jakarta, or Islam of Jeddah? No, the Islam which came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or 1400 years ago, Allah had chosen that. And we have to stick to that as much. Our mizaj again, yeah, must be mizaj Shariat, that we want that. And then today we're living in South Africa. Today is a different way. Mode of transport is different. How we relieve ourselves is different. One person who went to a hotel who went to Europe in those days from India, when he saw the toilet pan, the high pan, he didn't know what gadget it is and what this little room means here and what this is. They go to the felt for toilet. And now when he needed to relieve himself, he didn't know where to relieve himself. He just couldn't understand. So he took his socks and he relieved himself in the socks. Now he had to get rid of that. Where is he going to get rid of it? He saw outside the window, there is an open place. So he thought he'll throw it there. But to let it go there, he had to spin it. And with that spinning, all that went on the ceiling, on the walls, at the bottom, and everywhere. Now he's got another problem again. So he found people who care to house the... those people he found. And he told that person, I'll give you £5, but you clean this mess. He said, I'll give you £20. But tell me how you managed to live there on the wall and everywhere else. How you got that right? So anyway, they relieved themselves in the felt. Now where today, where, which felt you going to go to? How you going to do? So when those times come, when you can't understand, keep the mizaj of Shariat, keep the hudud of Shariat in mind. That what is the hudud of Shariat? And to that extent, you go now. You don't keep the hudud and make that the normal, and you go further. If we open the doors that today modern Islam, and we are in South Africa, we are in London, we are in New York, and we are in the 21st century, and we are in the 15th century, and this has to be permitted, and this has to be permitted, only Allah knows what will happen. But if we keep our roots with the conservative Islam, and then we see keeping the hudud in mind, then we will be always safe, and we'll have the pure Islam until the day of Qiyamah, which is happening right now. There are those people who are passing away, and what Mubarak moths they are getting. So many people, what Mubarak moths. And they are living in our time, in our country, in our time, but they are sticking to that, the mizaj of Sharia. They are sticking to that, and they keep the hudud, and they keep that mizaj, the nature, the spirit of deen, they keep it in mind according to the necessities of time, necessities of place, they keep that in mind. If we keep that in mind, inshallah, we will have no problem. The hadith part which I had narrated, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, a time will come on the people when nothing will be left of Islam but only the name of Islam. And unfortunately, as the Shaykh wrote in his time, we are in that times already. The Sahaba felt, and after the Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasalam left the dunya, they felt already what changes have come about. So today also, what changes in the name of a walima, which is an Islamic name. Today, in a wedding card, they will print there, an-nikahu min sunnati. Nikah is of my sunnat. And the whole wedding card is against sunnat. Everything what you see there is against sunnat. For everything else now, RSVP, no problem. But where, in which hadith it comes to that RSVP? All those things, many other things also, all the things that where the name is of Islam, whether it's a walima, whether it's a Quran Sharif khatam, that also, Mufti Jafar Saab, just imagine in our time, and he's living in a Dhaka, in a city of Dhaka, and don't think now we think Bangladesh, oh, we are very advanced. Today the whole world, everywhere, what is happening. So a member of parliament, minister or somebody, who is his friend, most probably I understand, he's murid also. So he came to him and told him, my daughter has completed hifz. And young age, perhaps around about 10 or something, and I want to have a hifz khatam jalsa. So, and this is when a person is genuine also. So Mufti Jafar said, I told him, that see, that Allah who gave that Quran to your daughter at her young and tender age, that same Allah has the right to take it away also. Allah gave that Quran Sharif, and the fazila, the virtues of being a hafiz, hafiza, is when the person who makes amal, the halal, he takes it as halal, the haram, he takes as haram, he lives by that. You're going to have a jalsa, you'll say there also, man and woman separate, but you know they were not going to be separate. You will say there, you can perhaps say no photos, but you know photos are going to be taken. You can say there no music or no murats, photos on clothes. Today, throughout the world, clothes have got photos on them. Shoes got photos on, murats on them, pictures on them. All these things happening. So he says, you are now going to celebrate in the name of Quran Sharif Khatam, in the name of Islam, everything against Islam. There's a famous thing in Karachi, there was a wedding some time ago, overspread over 3 days, which is still happening till now. And after 3 days, they could not decide and come to a conclusion whether the nikah, akde nikah was made or not. Everything else took place, whatever dance party, whatever, all other things. But whether the boy said, I accept her in marriage and she was offered in marriage, that did not, they were confused. They just couldn't remember that that had taken place. So this is that in the name of Islam, everything else will carry on. And we can massage our nafs that it is for Islam. With your pork, just say halal pork. And that is also alright, we got the word halal, so it's okay. But that does not make it halal in any way whatsoever. All these things that we just want to justify by using Islamic terminology. And then we justify. And we look for one incident which is not related to this of the buzurs. I say, our buzurs also did it. We're following our elders. But in what context that was, for what that was, and what you want to justify yourself for. And وَلَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُ. Nothing will be left of the Qur'an but just the writing of it. How much of the Qur'an Sharif is in our lives today? For example, for me, for all of us, which is a common thing, in the Qur'an Sharif it comes, that when you will be speaking of any other things, speak of sports today, speak of politics today, speak of in the name of deen, all the confusion and all the various views and that, or speak of anything else, everyone is listening at that. Everyone is contributing. But now, speak of deen itself. And then you see people are feeling sleepy now. People, they're looking at their watch now. I got an appointment, I have to go now. Or as one friend of ours said very nicely, you got people and they're not just talking of getting up and going. Now you want them to go, it's late now, or you've got other work, just speak of deen. And see how quickly they make the excuse. And if still they're not going, make the tashkil. And then naqad they will go, cash jamaat will go. And they will leave immediately. So that shouldn't be our attitude. That when we speak of deen itself, then we have a problem. And when we speak of anything of dunya, then a person who speaks about over a bride, first of all, the pride, the basics of that is just now to be free mode. Also today it's common that we have, that we like that company, the person who just blabbers all the time for everything. And then just blabbering, see where a person lands himself. And today, Allahu Akbar, a friend just told me before we came in, that all this comedian things and other jokes, they're just going wildly to one another. And just a smile on your face, or just being happy with a joke that is against Islam and deen, you have to read Kalima again. How serious matter it is. But today, who takes it as a serious? We not consider our Islam is guaranteed Islam. Our Iman, nothing can break our Islam. Guaranteed. And we got our reservation in Jannah already. We can do what we want to. We are perhaps more than Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Usman can do what he wants to from today, and he is accepted by Allah. We got that wahi coming to us perhaps, and we can do what we want to. Today is a serious thing that just one or two things that almost every game, computer game, has got Satanism behind it. And today we just let our children follow that. Every cartoon, or to be safe, almost every cartoon has got Satanism behind it. And our many, many jokes which we laugh at has got all Satanism and anti-Islamic things in it. Whether there are those jokes of marrying 2, 3, 4 wives, which is a great principle of Islam. Today, normally jokes are made of a person who is second wife, or a person who is not getting, his wife has passed away, and he gets married again. Make a big joke about it. Whereas this is what Islam wants. You must get married. You mustn't be on your own. But we make a joke about it, about many other institutions of deen, jihad for example. We make a joke about it, about a person who is like backwards. We make a big joke about it. And with the process, we don't know whether our iman is still intact or not. A person is happy, I've got my passport with me, I've got my currency with me, I'm going for Hajj Umrah, I'm going on a business trip. When he comes to the airport, and now you present your passport for check-in, he's happy. He takes, oh no, what happened? He can't see it yet. He thinks inside pocket, now he's looking in this pocket, and we find this common. Now he doesn't find it. Today we shaitan, the crooks today, what plans they got of how they rob us. And shaitan doesn't go for small things. He goes for big things, and that is iman. May Allah safeguard us and protect us, and that our iman gets safeguarded. May Allah save us, otherwise we are living in difficult conditions. May Allah guide us to righteousness and accept us. And remember also, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. For this dunya, it won't be. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. you will be a great loser in this, in the akhirah. In the dunya, he will gain temporary mata. He's going with the flow. He's enjoying what everyone is saying. Why fight them? Join them. They are in the majority, so just join them also. Otherwise, if you want to be those people that got the burning embers in your hand, you are going through difficulties. You want to be of the old school of thought, you're going to go through difficulties. You can't beat them, join them. And just live nicely. But then in the akhirat, there mustn't be serious repercussions. May Allah guide us to righteousness.